Father, we are so grateful for your presence. And Lord, we don't want to take it lightly or take it for granted, or this is just another meeting, another assembling, another word. But Lord, help us and give us ears and hearts, Father, that this may be the last one that we will hear before we're caught up. We don't know, Lord. We live day by day, hour by hour, and we walk by faith. And so, Father, while we still have ears and hearts and minds, please anoint them, Father. Prepare them that we receive the seed of your word. For, Lord, we know that there is still much that you want to teach us, as you have said. And, Father, above all, it's your presence, it's that experience. And Lord, we thank you for this. And so we commit our time, this word, into your hands now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 9. And I want to hone in on verse 23 of Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. And in this verse, which is one of the most challenging verses in the New Testament, Jesus says this: if you can believe, all things are possible to him or them who believe. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, I didn't make that statement. No man, earthly man, could make a statement like that. Only God Almighty. And that is the key and understanding to the deeper life. Because the deeper life is that doorway open to go through and to walk in the Spirit and to experience God. And if you can believe, the Lord says, all things are possible. And we see this in the context of how Jesus came to say this, because Jesus heals the boy. And in verse 14, let's just read this, how that it builds up to that verse. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son, who was mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast out, but they could not. He answered him and said, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But you can do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So before Jesus gave that statement, God was preparing the scene, like often he did. And many times we find that through the experiences where God is presenting a situation, a problem, or healing, or whatever, Jesus, moved by the Holy Spirit, often he spoke the word, or he taught them, or he used what was there as an example to teach. And in this case, he's using this epileptic, which I believe that's what it is, and he's teaching the disciples because of their unbelief. The people are around, the scribes are watching, the whole scene is there, and Jesus is actually teaching and showing, you know, that if you can believe, you too can do what I am doing. That's really fundamentally what he was saying. Because they tried to cast this demon out and they couldn't. And we have done exactly the same in our experiences. We have tried to minister. We have tried to cast out a demon. We have tried to speak healing in the name of Jesus, and nothing has happened. And God says exactly the same. You're faithless. There isn't the faith there. But immediately he turns it from what appears to be the negative into the positive. But however, all things are possible to them that believe. And what he's really saying is there, stay with it, keep with it, because you will experience it. Even though Jesus rebuked, he never left it in the negative. But he turned it always back into the positive to show, well, I can do this, you too can and will. So we need to remember that and keep that in mind. Again, we see a similar situation in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, and we take it up from verse 40. Of John 11, and here is the story, the situation of where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And I don't want to read all of this because you know this story very well, but in verse 40 he says here, and Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and now that you and know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So again, Jesus is showing what is impossible with man is possible with God, and certainly raising the dead is a most impossible task. And we note how Jesus is in total command in all of this. And I use this analogy because again we see, if it's possible, you know, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Even the raising of the dead, and others, of course, have been used in which to raise the dead. Again, Jesus uses the phrase with regard to salvation and discipleship. We tend to think about miracles and making it in, but we've also got to make it into the kingdom of God. And let's turn to Matthew 19. And verse 25. Matthew 19 and verse 25. And I'm trying to show you in the whole of the context that all things are possible to them that believe, including your salvation. Somehow we got that theologically for miracles, but it isn't. It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. And let's take it up in verse 25 of Matthew 19. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And of course, this is in the context of where Jesus counsels the rich young ruler to sell all and to follow him because he's rich. And so we see again this principle coming out. that unless we meet the requirements of discipleship, unless our heart and affection is solely for the kingdom of God, we aren't going to make it in to the kingdom of God. And it would seem at times, with all that we go through, with all that is faced in our lives, with the work and change that God is doing, circumcising these hearts, there are times when we wonder whether we're actually going to make it into the kingdom of God. Because our circumstances at times can seem quite the contrary. If we take the standard of God's word, can any of us put our hands on our heart and say, yes, I'm fulfilling every jot and tittle of this word? Can we do that? Why, in the natural, we all have to bow our heads like the tax collector and said, oh, wretched man that I am. The scribes and the Pharisees thought they could, and they were too quick to do it, and the religious will. But those who are really hearing the message have to just bow that head and say, Lord, it's by mercy, it's by grace. And Jesus says to those, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. I think one of the greatest hindrances to our faith is acknowledging and bowing that knee, and at times bowing our heads, that we have missed it a mile off. And very often you see those that came with those needs. Jesus challenged them and he watched to see their hearts. And in many ways, they bowed that knee. You would see, Lord, have mercy on me. Or, Father, think of this person, the predicament that they're going through. You notice that those who would come arrogantly in a manner of pride would never receive. And that principle still runs today. And if things are to be possible in your life and my life, then God has to do the impossible with us in order to make it possible. And that is to not only redeem us, to change us, and to put a new heart within us, but to humble us. Who can actually humble man when you look at it? Pride is the curse upon the human race. And we don't even have to work at it. It is naturally there. And there doesn't go a day where somehow, some way, in some situation, that pride has raised its ugly head. Or is about to raise its head. Or is there. It's working until God actually shows us that is pride, that is offensive in my sight, and it has to go. And so God is removing everything that would hinder us from confessing and believing that all things are possible to them that believe. Because God is going to ultimately get the overcomers to confess that. And in that confession, they're actually believing it. You see, we can say it, but we don't really always believe it. And as we heard in prophecy tonight, the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us to experience these things. And we have so many today who can recite, who can quote scripture, and they're brilliant at quoting scripture. But they don't experience it. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. And there are those who will hide behind that. The Pharisees and the scribes hid behind that spirit. They knew full well they were not experiencing it, because when they saw Jesus, who was experiencing it, that is what raised the jealousy. And it was really that jealousy that put him to the cross. The same as it was jealousy that committed the first murder with Cain and Abel. Because Abel had experienced something with God, he had humbled himself, he had sought God about that offering, and Cain just offered it in a religious manner. And we still see that going on today. Human nature doesn't change. And so We at times find this hard to accept this. And that's why it's impossible to believe with the carnal mind. If you are viewing this tonight in a carnal, sensual mind, you will never understand this. You'll never understand that Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And the carnal mind will say, yes, amen, that's true. But they won't experience it, and they don't really believe it. It is one thing to say it, it is another thing to acknowledge it. And God, I believe, is bringing the overcomers into a realm and experience where all things are possible to them that believe.
Thank you, Jesus.
And keep your theology out of that statement, because God used that word A-double-L, all things are possible. But you see, the religious person, yes, but you need to get into the Word of God to find out what's possible. You need to get into the Word of God to know what that all means. Well, you see, an overcomer has gone through that, has learnt that, and said, okay, fine, it's in the Word of God, but it still doesn't change what God says. All things are possible to them that believe. And we may just be finding that some things God will do in the last day that might cause a few of the religious for their eyebrows to go up to what God can and will do. And we certainly see that in Jesus' ministry. We become very aware of the Gentiles beginning to turn to Christ, which was offending the Pharisees, the scribes. And certainly after the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the raising up of the Apostle Paul, who's an apostle to the Gentiles, that caused tremendous problems and offense. But what was God showing there? That all things are possible to them that believe. That is what he was showing. And he still shows it today. And sometimes God will heal people that you can't understand why he'll heal them. If you were to look at their lives, and their lives can be quite checkered. But that's the God of mercy and grace. And who are you to judge? Who are you to tell me whom I should and I shouldn't heal, raise up, or save, or deliver? And yet, people do. We have done it. We at times have been offended. We've narrowed God in our minds and in our intellects. You see, God has to allow saints to be placed in impossible situations to prove what is impossible to be possible. And your situation that you find yourself in, and I believe everybody in the room tonight who's listening to this, God has got you, if you're truly saved, he's got you and I in impossible situation. Your circumstances may well be impossible. The trials that you are going through may be impossible. Your finances, the state of your finances may be impossible. Or you are in a physical situation that is impossible. One could just go on and on and on with that. Every one of us is placed in impossible situation. To make it into the kingdom of God is impossible in the natural. How can anybody live the standard that God requires? It's impossible. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect, the Word of God says. Impossible. Everything you read is impossible in the natural. And this is why every time you open the Word of God, you have to got to be in a place of faith to believe it. Because Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. And so when we open up this Word, it's impossible in the natural. Every page, everything that's written on this is impossible. But God said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now, God wouldn't have said that if it's impossible. He wouldn't have said that if it's that hard. Certainly under this dispensation of grace and mercy. So we have to then raise that question, where is it we miss it? Why is it that faith, which really is so simple, that is why so often I miss it, where is it I go wrong? Well, this is where our trials again come in. Because our trials are so designed to teach us and to cause us to experience with our faith that all things are possible to them that believe. And that is why many of your trials that you and I are going through are to work that in and through us. Now, your very trial that you're going through, or trial you may have been going through for years, and the longer it seems to go on, the more impossible it seems to be. But that is the very trial in which to make it possible. And that's the irony of it all. That is where God works so differently to man. Our mind and our thinking says, this has been going on for 10 years. It's going to be impossible. I've been waiting for my healing for 15 years. It's impossible. It is impossible. You aren't saying anything naturally, carnally, that is new. What is new about what you're saying? Nothing new. But what God says is new. And that is the good news. And so these delays, which needn't be delays, but are delays that are teaching us faith, getting it from our heads to our hearts. And I've just suddenly seen that some of my trials and that I go through is just like the children of Israel, when they could have got through in a matter of weeks and it took them 40 years. And it's exactly the same with us. And so some of our trials, thank God, I don't think will reach 40 years. But it seems like 40 years. But God is teaching us that if you can believe, it needn't take 40 years, if thou canst believe.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, how do we get over that mindset? How do we get that from our heads to our hearts? We hear it, we agree with it, we say amen to it, we've read it over and over many, many times, but somehow I'm still not really believing it. And you have to decide what you're going to look at. Are you going to, in a sense, stand outside of yourself and look at yourself and your circumstances, or are you going to see it from God's perspective as a new creation in Christ, already with him seated in heavenly places? You have to decide how you view this, how you see this. You see, the children of Israel, when they went into the wilderness, they didn't see that the wilderness was a means and a way of going into the promised land. The moment they got into the wilderness, they lost sight of the promised land. Because instead of believing, looking to the promised land, which of course had been prophesied and given to them, all they could see was the wilderness and sand and desolation. And it's exactly the same with us. And so God was trying to take their eyesight, what they were seeing, he was trying to raise them above that. And God does the same with us and is doing that same. He's trying to take what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're feeling, what you're smelling, what you're tasting, all those areas, those senses that the enemy tries to work. He's trying to raise us above all of that. Because above that, you can confidently then say, all things are possible to them that believe. And I believe. Because I think most of us have said to the Lord, Lord, help thou my unbelief. So we've acknowledged that and are acknowledging that. So if we truly have meant that, then God has legally bound himself through the blood of Christ, through the new covenant, to fulfill those promises which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He has actually bound himself to you now because you have humbled yourself, because you have acknowledged it. He's now going to work in you where you will come to that childlike, simple faith. I just believe.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just believe.
Thank you.
And I don't want to know any more. I don't want to know. I don't want any questions. I don't want to investigate. I don't want to prod or feel or look in the mirror or go and get an advice from a doctor or whatever it would be. I just believe because he has bound himself to me in covenant and he's made that promise. And nothing can separate, break that promise. I believe that's moving into all things are possible to them that believe. And how does he work that? He works that in these trials. So your trials are in order to work that simple faith of simply believing. And yes, some of those trials are very real. They are painful. They are absolutely negative. They seem at times contrary to this walk. You name it. But at the end of the day, has God made a mistake with this trial I'm going through? Why, surely not. And he wouldn't let you go through it unless there's a reason that you're going through this in order to get you to that place of believing. On one side, to get man to believe is virtually impossible. It's not in him. He resists anything of faith, trusting, believing. If a man's got to wait an hour for his healing, it's just impossible. So God has to take the initiative and begin to work what is impossible to make it possible. Why is it still takes us by surprise? We can still get down, we can get depressed, we can get all despondent that my situation I'm in just looks absolutely impossible. Friends, let's wake up. Well, of course it's impossible. What is new? And all the while we are saying it's impossible. That is a clear sign I'm not yet really taking this word in as I should be. It gives it away. Now, yes, it may be hurting. Yes, you may be going through a trial. That's a slightly different thing. But the fact that it's taken me by surprise and so on shouldn't do. It shouldn't take us by surprise. Now, in our trials, this is where, of course, also we stand with our brothers and sisters. We pray one for another as well as the Word of God tells us to do. Why is it so important, as James tells us, to pray one for another? That we might be blessed, we might be healed and so forth. Because it's the trial of your faith. And so it's important for you and I to be praying and standing for our brother and sister, because most of those trials they're going through is connected with their faith for believing. And it's maturing them. It's developing them. It's taking them on to the next plateau of faith. That's why I need to stand with my brother and sister. Not necessarily that because they'll make it in to the kingdom of God, but because they'll be blessed, that they'll come to that place of faith where all things are possible for them. That's why, you see. You know, how many of us look at our life over the years and sometimes you really, really think, I don't think I'll ever make it into the kingdom of God. Sometimes you can go on this walk and you can actually, it looks as though instead of it progressing, it's digressed. It actually can look as though it's actually got worse as you get nearer and nearer. Well, I raise this question again, has God made a mistake? Or is it because God is actually showing us that when we first got saved and we thought we were walking in faith, our heads were in the clouds. And now we're coming down to reality, and now he's beginning to real mean business with us and so on. Hang on a minute, this looks terrible. I think probably that's more actually what it is. But the enemy wants you to think that it's got worse, you see. But it hasn't. All God's doing is just opening your eyes to what you really are. And what God is delivering and bringing you from.
Amen.
Couldn't see it when you were young.
Thank you, Jesus.
We were too strong-headed and bolshy and thought, you know, we're going to turn the world upside down. We're all like it. And praise God, when we were like that, God had the word at that time in which to minister to us under those conditions. Until we start to develop and grow up. And the more you grow up, the more you realize a wretched man that I am. The Apostle Paul was seeing that. That was being revealed to him more and more. And yet more that was revealed to him, the greater power and anointing that was coming upon him. And that is how God does it, you see. And this is what he's doing with us. He's actually revealing to us now how great our salvation is. What he's actually delivered us from that we just didn't really know.
Right.
When we were younger.
Right.
We didn't have the insight. We didn't have the understanding. But now he is beginning to show this. And how does he show it? He shows it because of the trials that we have gone through. You are only where you are tonight to the degree of your consecration and understanding of God as to the trials you have gone through over the years. Without those trials, you would not be in that place tonight where you are.
Sure.
You wouldn't. You would not.
Thank you, Jesus.
Without the trials and tests that we've gone through, I would not even be allowed to even preach such a sermon like this, that if thou canst believe, all things are possible. We would never understand it. Well, we would be, but we would always secretly be viewing it. Well, I don't know about this, but anyway, we'll go along with it, you know, because that's what we used to do. All the rumbling and grumbling was going on deep inside. But now you see God is beginning to show us, yes, yes, this is true.
Amen.
Yes, I can press in for this. Yes, it is possible. My life can and will attain this for the glory of God. And that's what should start to be happening with us. There should be something that's quickening within our spirit that's causing us to rise up when we hear this, that it is possible, that God can bring me to a place of faith where what is impossible, God makes it possible simply on the basis of just believing. Can you realize what this believing is going to do for us in the last days? Just on the basis of believing, dead can be raised up. That's what Jesus did. All Jesus said, thank you, Father, you've heard me. And the rest was done. Most of us would be going off for a week's fasting. By that time, the body would be buried. That's how we think. That's how we've thought. We have got to do something to enhance the believing. Now, if God wants you to fast and pray, then the Holy Spirit will do it. Because God says all things are possible to them that believe. And most people can't fast and pray. It's beyond them. So it has to be God. And these people who can fast and pray and can do it regularly on everything, I have to be honest with you, and it's not to criticize, but I've seen these people that do this, and it's religious. And I don't see much that comes from it. And it's not to knock it, because there are some, yes, who have that ministry and intercession, but I've seen an awful lot that doesn't work as well. The point I'm saying is, if we are believing all things are possible to them that believe, then you can see in your life doing these things. Yes, I could fast. If God even called me for a 40-day fast, it's possible. I take all the limits off God. That's what we should be saying. Because it will be of him, not of me. If I'm called to cast out those demons, it's possible, because it will be of him, not me. So I'm open. And that is what God wants. He wants us open, ready, because God will make what is possible in our lives, which naturally is impossible. And that's how God can work that. And that is why daily we wait upon God as we seek him, walk with him, walk in his presence. He will simply work that. This is how I believe the greater works are going to come. The greater works are going to come because we believe all things are possible. And it has to be possible for the greater works. Although outwardly it's impossible. I think at this point God's actually getting us to a place where we're actually believing for the greater works, because I think in our hearts, I don't think we're actually fully yet persuaded by it. We know it doctrinally, we've heard it, but I'm not quite sure we actually still really believe it yet. So God's got to work on that one, because an awful lot have gone back on it. They have shown unbelief. So, you know, the Lord's in control. And God doesn't go back on what he's been giving us over the years at all. He doesn't go back. And, you know, all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. It's like, you see, God has to allow the saints to be placed in impossible situations to prove the impossible. Yeah. That it is possible with God. And so hence the trials. Now, do these trials get any easier? That is the question. No, they don't. And they're not going to get any easier, because the giants are getting bigger. And many of these giants are giants that oppose the mind, the thinking, the attitude. Not so much your circumstances, but it's more the attitude, the thinking. And so every trial that you go through, you are in actual fact facing a larger giant. Like with the children of Israel, when they had to get down, go to those fortified cities and try to get down those walls and everything, and the fighting and wars that went on. And so it's the same with us. Now, the reason the powers of darkness war and fight against our minds is because they don't want us to have that simple childlike faith. Because they know that all things are possible to them that believe. They don't want you believing. The God of this age, who blinds the minds of many, who hinders our minds and has held our minds, doesn't want us believing. That is the nature of demons. Their nature is to hinder your faith, my faith. So as God is setting deliverance through the word, through this sword of the Spirit, as he's working on our minds, this deliverance is so that we close these doors. And the closing of these doors are actually not listening, giving access anymore to these giants of attitude, of thinking. That's really a lot what it is. And that's why it seems at times that our trials are getting stronger getting harder. That is the nature of it, because God, through that, works that deliverance in which to get us to those places in which we believe. And of course, all our trials, which are tailor-made, are all different for each one of us. We look at saints, whether in this room or some of our brothers and sisters around the world, those that are on PAL Talk tonight. If you were to talk with them, all our trials in some way are different. But the end result is all the same. And so all it is so that God can show what carnally, naturally is impossible to make it possible. You see, Jesus said, "Speak to this mountain that it may be removed and cast into the sea." I mean, what's Jesus showing there? Well, Jesus is showing an analogy there. He's showing against something that is, well, it's impossible. Why, even dynamite couldn't get rid of it. But he said faith can and will. And that is why God always presents to you and I those mountains that are utterly, totally, completely impossible. Yes. And it's deliberate. Yeah. He has made no mistake in presenting that to you and me in order that you believe. And he's already said that he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us and lead us and guide us to make that which is impossible, possible. And it's on the basis of choosing to believe. And this is why I keep saying, and I will say it again, keep coming, keep listening, stay with the Word, because God is removing those hindrances, those mountains to your faith and my faith. This word is a word of deliverance, and it is doing that.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
God. And so we're finding ourselves now coming, aren't we, where we no longer want to think in the realm of the carnal. We no longer want to try and work it out, because that's what the carnal mind will do. For example, I believe the Lord has given me a ministry. And so at that point, the Lord's given me a ministry. You've worked it all out carnally, how God is going to do that ministry, only to find completely the opposite. See, I don't try and even work out my ministry. I quit working my ministry out years ago. And thank God I did, because I tell you, in the natural, it looked pretty negative otherwise. I don't want to think about it. I just say God has not made a mistake. All I know is God, in his infinite wisdom, chose and called me into a ministry as a pastor. If I were to look at it carnally, naturally, well, I think he's made the biggest mistake of his life. But he hasn't. God knows what he's doing. So what do I have to do? I just keep the mind out of it. I don't even try and work it out. I take it day by day. And that is all we can do as we walk with God, or those of us who are in ministry as well. You can only take your ministry from day to day. Now, God might show in vision or prophecies. He might give some insight into certain things that he will do. But even with that, you're not to work it out. Just leave it with God. And I am very, very fortunate that I had two major prophecies given over my ministry years back, which are recorded. But I very seldom ever look at it. And I would say that over half of it has already been fulfilled. But I leave it. I leave it with God. I'm not thinking, well, why isn't this happening? Or I should be doing this, or whatever it would be. God is in control. He hasn't made any mistake. And so it's the same with our lives. And this is why I say, in the Christian walk, you take it day at a time. Don't consider or worry about tomorrow or next week. Why is it we still plan our lives as though we've got every future ahead of us, you know, in this life? We haven't. If you are truly being touched and you know what it is to be walking by faith, you're going to take it day at a time. And that's how your faith is going to be. And whatever needs of that day, God will meet. God will supply. We heard in prophecy tonight, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But I also heard what God said, that you've heard that many times, but how many of you actually really believe that? That's what he was saying. We can recite these things, these scriptures over and over and over and over again, but do we really believe it? That is the question. Well, the humble will believe it. Because the humble will say, well, even if it's taken me 10 years to believe that, I'll get there. That is the point. I think one of the hardest things, as I bring this to conclusion now, I think one of the hardest things that has been for us, for all people who have been in the faith teaching, the deeper life teaching and so forth, that has actually taken a lot longer than we ever anticipated or realized. We all thought you're going to get it in 6 months. After learning the five principles of faith, it's a lifetime. I'm afraid, you know, that it's a little naivety, but God knows. God knew where we were. That was our, you know, zeal and excitement about everything, you know. And the point is that the whole walk is a lifetime of God working on the mind, changing these minds into the mind of Christ, because that's how he works with our faith. You see, when that mustard seed of faith is there, that is the mind of Christ present there. That is what you're seeing there is the mind of Christ in operation, believing. That's what's happening, you see. One could ask the question is, well, I don't know how ever I'm going to be able to walk this life, this pilgrimage that I'm on, with my mind every day that's under such attack. And you know, it's just impossible. Well, of course it's impossible. It's that mountain. Our minds being changed, being worked upon, putting on the mind of Christ, is a mountain. And if you haven't seen that yet, you're going to see it. Because nobody can tame the mind of man. You can't bring your mind under a discipline. Eastern religions have tried to do it. They try to work on the mind. They try to bring the mind into subjection. Never will. It's impossible. Even cultish religions know the battle that's in the mind. But unfortunately, they have the wrong power trying to work on the mind. You have the power of God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
It's the power of God working your mind, delivering your mind, my mind.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And so that is a mountain that will be cast into the sea. And I don't think we've ever really fully acknowledged this one. That it is that. That is why faith comes by hearing that word. And as we hear that word, and as we read then into that word, what we've been hearing and so on, that is working that faith. That is sowing that seed. And so you see, I believe that as the mind is worked on, so seed is sown in. I think it's all connected together. That is why there has had to be deliverance. That is why God is closing those doors that have been open into man's mind. Where those doors that are open have unfortunately been hindering seed that's been trying to come in. Or at that point, there's wrong seed that's still being sown in. But eventually, the seed of God's word and staying with it, eventually that has to take over. That will pull out the wrong seeds, the roots, the weeds, God is weeding out in our mind, because he's shown as the farmer, the husbandry. What is the husbandry? What is the nature of his work now? Is our minds. He's pulling out the weeds in our minds. He's ploughing up. Sowing seed into the mind. That's his husbandry now. You see? So, that mountain, which is our mind, our faith says, is cast into that sea. Cast away as far as the east is to the west. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Is your mind too far gone for God to work with? Why no? Else God would never have saved you. There's some, sadly, God has let go. Can't save, won't save. Who've blasphemed. The mind has gone too far. And God knows, that's the wisdom of God. Yeah. But all the while you confess him as Lord and Saviour, speak in tongues and say amen to the word of God and bow that knee, that proves you have a mind, a sound mind, a mind that's well on its way to experiencing the mind of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
And a faith of confession that will confess all things are possible to them that believe. And I'm not going to work anything else out. That's what I say, that is what I believe, that is what Jesus said first, before even me, and my faith is based on that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, again tonight, we need to be brought right back to the basics. Because we are, at the end of the day, children. And Lord, you love us that much to challenge our faith. Lord, please bring us to that place, as we have heard tonight, where we just simply believe. We don't question. We don't ask why, when, how. All these things, Lord, that we have done, we do it in a very subtle way. Lord, just please bring us to that simple, childlike faith, just simply believing, knowing experientially that all things are possible to them that believe. And whatever you're presenting to us, not even doubting and thinking, oh, well, I don't know whether God can do this, I'm not sure this is doctrinally right. You never make mistakes in whatever you present to us, whether individually or as a church. Lord, please never let us make these mistakes that we see even the saints of old made, and certainly the children of Israel. There is a land to enter, and it's a promised land. And it has been promised from the foundation of the world. And to enter that land, we can only enter it under that one condition, that all things are possible to them that believe. And so, Father, like everything else, whether it be this promised land that we've been promised, whether it be in our trials, what I'm facing, my deliverance, my healing, my rebellious family, all of this appears to be a huge mountain that's impossible. But you have made it possible. And we want to praise and thank you, Father, for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.